It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 263 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is the return of Dave Romeo, the owner and driving force behind Comics on the Green in Scranton, Pennsylvania, a successful store that's been around for more than two decades. One of the great things talking with Dave is he can back up his opinions with facts from his experience on the front lines of the industry in a comic shop. And I think it's great for us every once in a while to go back there and find out how things are doing. And he gives a lot of interesting perspective and opinions about Marvel and DC, Image, Aftershock Comics, and several other things going on in the industry and where he'd like to see comics go in 2017. He's always great fun to talk with about the business as well as the fan aspects of the comics industry, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. One quick note, interviews over the phone sometimes don't have the best sound quality, but if you have any trouble hearing what we're discussing, just turn your volume up a little bit and I'm sure you'll hear what Dave is saying. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome back to the podcast Dave Romeo, the person in charge of Comics on the Green in Scranton, Pennsylvania, a great person in charge of a store who understands both sides of the table, the business aspect as well as the fan aspect. How are you doing today, Dave?
I'm doing fine, Wayne. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to read a little bit off of your website, which, of course, is comicsonthegreen.com. You describe your store as the pop cultural center of Scranton. That's northeastern Pennsylvania, too, by the way. And I love the rest of the paragraph. Right. It says, Comics on the Green was founded in 1992 by David Romeo Jr., who still owns and operates the store. We pride ourselves on our huge selection of all types of comic-related merchandise, but are most proud of our customer service and extensive knowledge of our products. All our employees are avid comic and pop culture fans and are ready and happy to answer any questions. We love comics and collectibles, and our enthusiasm is infectious. And I have to say, Dave, that's one of the things I've noticed that stores that thrive, they do have a great interaction with the customers. And that's one thing about your store. I often like to tell the story how you're the one that got me into Walking Dead.
Yeah, quite a while ago. And I was even a little late to the table on Walking Dead. I wasn't there from day one or anything like that. But yeah, once I discovered it and I was really enjoying it, we were promoting it pretty heavily to customers. We thought, you know, be receptive to the whole horror genre and everything. But yeah, no, I appreciate the kind words. I know you're reading from our website, but I do appreciate the kind words. I mean, it's really important to us and really important to me to have a staff available for customers that are knowledgeable. I don't just hire anybody. Everybody wants to work there, but only a few have actually worked there over the past 24 years. And it's because I require a lot of knowledge and good customer service. And I mean, let's face it, who wants to walk into a comic shop and ask questions? And then I don't expect even us to answer every question, but we expect our people to be able to answer a lot of questions or at least steer people in the right direction, depending on their taste. So, yeah, that's very important to us, and I think it has helped us over the years.
Well, I always tell the story. I was in Washington, D.C., and we walked up these stairs to this comic store. It was on top, and there was a guy sitting looking at a computer screen. And he never said hello. He never spoke to us. We walked around the store for a while, and I didn't know what I wanted to buy. I didn't have any idea what things were, and he never even made eye contact. And so after about 5-10 minutes, we went down the stairs and left. And who knows what I would have bought had this person actually talked to me about stuff.
Yeah, no, that's inexcusable. And I don't know whether the ownership knows that or whether he was the owner or not, but whether that shop's a business, I don't know. But I don't believe any business can survive with that type of lack of service. I wouldn't even call it service, just lack of service. But there's a lot of good shops out there, and there's a lot of good people working in good shops. So hopefully they're all still out there.
Yeah, now, people always get on me because I never give the contact information till the end, so I'm trying to move towards the front. I mentioned you have a website, comicsonthegreen.com, but you're also on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Yep, we're Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is very active for us. That seems to be one place that we, you know, we really reach a lot of people and promote our events and stuff like that. And we sell on eBay as well. We've been selling on eBay since 1998 at least. Yeah, we're kind of all over. We're actively looking into a better online presence even than we have. As things are moving forward and people are online even more from their phones and tablets and things like that. So, yeah, we hope to be evolving even more this year quite a bit.
Oh, well, someday we'll have to find out what that is, what that involves. Mm-hmm. It'll be kind of fun. Now, I always like to put the phone number because not everybody's on the computer. You have, the phone number according to your website is 570-342-5960. You're on 307 yep. North Washington Avenue. It's downtown Scranton, Pennsylvania, northeastern.
Back in the middle of downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is always good. See, always, people rag on me for doing that last, and some people don't have their backside, can't hold it that long. So I try to do it as soon as I can.
I appreciate any plug you've given us so far, no matter what part of the interview it is. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, I haven't been there in a while to your store because I've been down in the South mm-hmm. for quite a bit. But mm-hmm. talk to me about 2016 as far as your store, and then we'll get into the industry. But how did your store do in 2016?
2016 definitely had its ups and downs. Now we have our final tallies at the end of the year, and we've done just about as good as we've done in previous years. But, you know, the comic industry, as you know, was in a state of flux, too. And we saw DC take a hit at the beginning of the year and then rebound with Rebirth. Marvel pushing their initiatives and their plans going forward with more diversity and a larger cast of characters out there and everything. And there's some hits and misses out there. Overall, we did very well. We finished very strong. I would say probably the biggest thing of the year that really helped was DC's Rebirth. And it's continued to do very well. I mean, numbers have leveled off and everything. But lots of highs and lows. Yeah, it was a roller coaster ride for fans and for retailers because with so many changes and things coming and going and renumberings and some confusion in the marketplace of what's going on, shop owners really had to stay on top of things and be knowledgeable to help people navigate the waters this year. So I don't want to say we ended on a strong note overall, for sure, but there were some interesting patches early on in midway. But overall, we did well, and you know, customers seem to be pretty happy right now.
How did Civil War do, Civil War II, this past year?
Civil War did very well for us. I think people maybe expected it to do better. I think even initially I expected it to do better. It was still one of our best-selling titles, actually, for the year, so we can't complain about that. But the one thing, though, and it's like those intangible things you can only get from like being in the shop every day and talking to customers, is it sold, and people actively looked for it, so they enjoyed it, but there wasn't a buzz about it. Hmm. I don't want to spoil anything, but some big events happened, in case somebody didn't read it yet or even started yet. There's probably plenty of people who haven't even read it from the beginning yet. People seem unaffected by what's going on in it. They're like, oh, well, I'm enjoying it, but I know this probably won't hold. Or I know this is just something that they're going to promote going forward. And yeah, I don't know, the fans, and rightfully so, are becoming a little jaded in big events and big changes or perceived big changes that may or may not happen. So a good seller, but people seem unaffected by the events. Mm-hmm. So maybe, maybe they're not as excited about it now. But I thought it was a decent read. Myself, I have to say, I wasn't blown away by anything going on in there, and I think as the fans are too, I was a little jaded and like, oh, okay, well, all right, I see what they're doing with this, or I see what they're doing with that, but there were some interesting moments, though.
Do you think there'll be a Civil War 3?
I think so. I mean, it could be years in between, and it would have to be something pretty decent, because I think kind of like DC likes to use the word crisis or rebirth, almost like as a brand that promotes a certain type of event or something going on. I think Marvel will use Civil War as that type of thing. But as a fan, I would like to say we don't need any more, because you're just getting more and more watered down as you go along. But it would not surprise me if there was, but it might be a while.
Now, what do you think about Marvel likes to use events a lot? There's this monster event coming, which I'm a little worried about, to be frank. I'm not quite sure how that's going to go. But, it's so interesting. DC and Batman did like a monster thing in their titles, and now Marvel is basically going in there. And of course, the idea is to harken back to the 50s and stuff when they had monster comics that sold pretty well. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? How are you looking for that?
Yeah, I look at that as a little mini event. Like, Civil War is more of a really large event that's meant to like change things and change the status quo and move things forward. I look at Monsters Unleashed as more of a crossover, but probably to keep the copyrights on some of those characters. I think that's part of it. Mm-hmm. personally, I mean, I do like those characters, and if done properly, I think it could be fun. But I think they're making it too big, bigger than it has to be. I think as a short little 5 or 6 issue limited series in and of itself that has some effect in the Marvel Universe, but all the Marvel characters are going to have Monsters Unleashed one shots and another little limited series to go with it and here and there. And I'm like, it's too much. I hate to say it. Customers seem like, hey, we like the creative teams we're hearing on the main book, but all these one-shots and one-offs and crossovers, they don't seem to want them. And to be honest, that's one thing that we saw with Civil War is the spin-offs in the limited series did not do well compared to other events in the past. There's too much product out there at times. First of all, people's dollars are being stretched. But they realize that, like, well, I don't really maybe care what the Kingpin was up to during this. Or I hate to say it. And I'm not even questioning the quality of these books because some of them I didn't even read, so I don't want to come off that way. But just fans with a limited budget, they're just going to buy the main event and see if they like something else. But I kind of wish Monsters Unleashed was a little bit smaller. I don't think it's going to do big, big numbers. But if it's fun, it might at least keep people's attention to post-Civil War as far as a Marvel event, I guess.
Well, I know people who like Fin Fang Foom and stuff like that. So if that character mm-hmm. gets a lot of play, some folks will be buying it just to see that character. So
yeah.
There'll be a lot of good things on that. But I just don't know that this was a great way to start the year. I would have... But, you know, Marvel has this thing that they are always jumping from one event to another a lot. And I kind of wish sometimes mm-hmm. they wouldn't do that. I wish they'd have a break for a couple of months and just let good stories sell mm-hmm. in the comics. What do you think about that?
And the thing of it is, I agree too. Their thing, I think, you know, their numbers show that people do like these events and they will sell. But like you said, Civil War is not even over yet, and of course, thanks to catalogs and online promotion, they've been promoting Monsters Unleashed for months now, so you almost feel like we can't even let Civil War soak in and see if there's ramifications, see if we're affected by it, but we're going right into this. And I'm like you, like, I'm not even saying they have to take like the first quarter off or something like that, but give us a month or two in between. But they, you know, especially for the first quarter of the year, they want to start strong. So they start with a mini event with a lot of crossovers and extra issues and stuff. So part of that is that's part of their plan. That's part of their publishing, you know, initiative. So, but yeah, a little time in between, a little downtime wouldn't hurt. Let the regular books soak in too. Let people feel what they're feeling for just the monthly titles and things like that. But mm-hmm. yeah, I have a feeling it's never going to stop, Wayne. Nope. I think after Monsters Unleashed, there'll be something right after that.
That's too, right. You know? And let me ask you, too, about mm-hmm. Marvel events. I often notice there's a lot, and you may have just touched on why this is, but a lot of time when something's starting, there's a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of interest, but then we get to the mm-hmm. end of it, it's not quite so... Mm-hmm. interesting to people. People are kind of going, oh yeah, the end. Okay. So do you think that's the case? Is it like you were mentioning that they're already heavy into the next event and stuff? Is that making it that people by the end of the event are kind of looking forward to the next one rather than looking forward to the end of the current one?
Right. Yeah. There's some of that. And I don't even know how many people are really excited about Monsters Unleashed. I mean, there's some interest in our shop, but not a ton. I think sometimes the big events are too long. Mm-hmm. I think Civil War was too long. I think Secret War was too long. And these are like some decent stories that are with, you know, really good creators that if they're tightened up, give us 5 or 6 good issues. This 8 or 9 issue thing, people just get bored in the middle. Mm-hmm. People will say, like, I read this and like this whole issue was them talking to, and then you get to the last 2 issues and there's all the action and all the things are going on. And mm-hmm. I just think they're too long. And when they fall behind, it makes it seem even longer. So an 8 or 9 issue limited series that falls behind schedule is now a year out of your life. And how many things are interesting for a year? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Especially when you're reading other stuff. I mean, some titles are fantastic and can keep my interest for years, but generally a mini series or something for a year is just, that's just, and that's not planned to be a year more. That's just way too long. And people move on to other stuff. If they keep coming in month after month and it's not there, they'll eventually buy it, but a lot of times we have seen numbers drop off by the time the end of a series comes, which tells me people literally got bored somewhere in the middle, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, number ones are always collectible compared to number 12s or number 8 or number 9 of 8 yeah. or whatever that is. That you're gonna mm-hmm. Sometimes you want to get the number ones more than you want to get the conclusion of a series.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing, too, is you have to give customers and fans credit. They want to try these things. Mm-hmm. And some of them will say, well, I'll buy the first 2 or 3 issues, but then if that doesn't grab me, then I'm done. And I don't blame them. I mean, if a title can't grab you in 3 months or so, then it's not worth it because you've given it already your time and you've given it your $10 or $12 or whatever or more. And then there's other plenty, like you said, there's plenty of good reading out there. You know, mm-hmm. we could point They're not enjoying the big Marvel event of the year, 10 events of the year.
Mm-hmm. I've got to ask you before we go off of Civil War, what did you think of the movie?
I actually really liked the movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, I wasn't in the minority. I don't say that as if, like, oh, I was the only one. Mm-hmm. In some ways, I almost liked Civil War, the movie, more than the original series.
Really?
Yeah, because I felt like that's another case, going way back to the original series, where great idea, great start, but at the same time, a lot of the major characters weren't in play, and I felt like it just sort of fizzled at the end. I don't know if a lot of fans feel the same way, mm-hmm. but the first Civil War to me was like, we're fighting, we're, oh my gosh, we're at each other's throats, we can't get along with anything, we're pursuing these heroes that don't want to comply. And then at the end, Captain America looks around and goes, oh my goodness, we're actually hurting civilians and ruining things, I give up. And you're like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, and for me, and I like Mark Millar and Steve McNiven, nothing against the two creators, mm-hmm. but at the end of that, I was just really, Cap just discovered that he was probably doing some harm and gave up. And at that point, and Captain America's comic was fantastic at that time with Ed Brubaker, so I didn't mind that so much that it went into his title more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I felt that the movie, going back to the original question, I didn't mean to digress too much there,
okay.
but I just thought that the movie had, like, I thought the motivations were terrific. I think that, you know, Cap, you know, doing everything he can for his friend who he believes in, no matter what some of the facts have shown him and things like that. I really like that. Could be my favorite of the Marvel movies, and I've liked a lot of the Marvel movies, but that wow. could be my favorite. And to see the actual characters fighting in a cool battle that we all kind of wanted to see, and I felt like we never really got that in the comic book. Almost. We got like little D-list characters fighting, you know, characters here and there, and a couple A-listers popped in from time to time. But I really enjoyed the movie a lot.
Oh, good. Well, we're getting back to Marvel when we talk about the future. We already mm-hmm. delved into that some. But what about Rebirth? You said that it was good for your store. What did you think about mm-hmm. the whole event? Because down in Florida where I live, there people were open at they opened up at midnight the night before, like Tuesday night, and they were selling stuff, and right. they did that for quite a mm-hmm. while, and of course that stopped eventually, and all these various books, and some of them are biweekly now, which I fell behind on. It took me a whole one Saturday. I sat there the whole Saturday and did nothing but read Rebirth so I could catch up, because I was mm-hmm. so behind. So what's your impression of how it went?
Myself included, and hearing from customers, I think everybody seems to fall behind almost, unless they have extra time on their hands. Numbers are leveling off now because, of course, in some cases, we're 6 months plus into most of these titles. And so people are kind of picking and choosing their favorites now. A lot of people are still buying a lot of them. And they're buying a lot more, let me put it this way. Rebirth has made them buy a lot more DC than they were buying pre-Rebirth. Mm-hmm. With the end of New 52 and after Convergence, there was just like almost like a pitiful slow death was going on in DC over there. So Rebirth was much, much needed. Been a couple little surprises here and there in Rebirth, but we do hear complaints from people about some of them being like twice a month, and that will make them pick and choose. But for the most part, they like the books enough that they're still hanging on. Like even one that they're on the fence about, they're going, well, I still like it enough. Let me give it some more. But it's definitely helped sales, and it helped DC a lot for us, definitely.
Okay, we'll get to the future of this, because I think that's how this is going to go forward, because it can't be Rebirth forever. It's going to have, to some point, they're going to have to take that off, and they're going to have to do something else with it. But yeah, I'd say that this year was, DC did a real smart move, because after DCU, it was like a crash and burn, and I thought, holy smoke, is DC going to continue on? But then Rebirth came along, and bang, volcano.
Mm-hmm.
So something good.
Well, I don't understand something I never understood with the companies, Marvel and DC, of course, being the two forerunners. I understand why they feel that they have to get so far away from the original characters and so far away. I realize you have to constantly reinvent these things, and I don't envy the writers in any comic industry one bit, any part of the industry, excuse me, because these characters have such a long history, trying to be fresh with them, trying to come up with something new. But my thing is that these characters are beloved for a long time for a reason. So you don't get too far away from what Superman is, what Batman is, what Wonder Woman is, what Martian Manhunter is, or whatever. You just don't get too far. And I felt that the industry, and even Marvel, I believe, is still doing this to a point, is they're chasing after a customer base. Yeah, we definitely need. We need a more diverse customer base. But you don't sacrifice your classic characters as a result of it. And that's why the longtime fans, they gave up on DC. They saw DC just make a wholesale change. New 52 was only a mild success in the beginning. Batman sold. Justice League sold. Everything else was dropping and dropping, dropping for years, even before Convergence and then the DCYOU. So they decided, you know what? What are we doing wrong? We got away from the basic things that made these characters great. Let's try to bring that back in, keep some New 52 stuff that worked, keep some things here and there, but we have to get back to basics a little bit. And I think that's what's resonated with fans, is that, you know, attention to what the character is really about, from down to their core.
Well, you always told the story, and I liked, is the fact that you'll ask a kid that comes into a store, do you like Marvel better or do you like DC? And you always say, the kids always say, well, Marvel, because they're cool.
Yes.
You don't understand, what is it, DC, that they're not cool? Never really get anybody to answer that for me, what it is about that. Of course, the Marvel characters tend to be more down-to-earth, people we can relate to, or DC people are more iconic, people beyond what we are kind of stuff. So maybe that's what appeals to more comic readers.
What we are seeing, though, is with the success of the DC TV shows, we are seeing younger people who realize, and I love seeing this, I love that young boys and girls love The Flash and Supergirl right now. When they come in and kids love The Flash and Supergirl, I can't be more pleased, because it's two good characters, two great role models on TV. And Arrow to a lesser extent, only because Arrow appeals to a little bit of an older audience, and the show is a little bit darker, and I think that's, young kids maybe shouldn't even be watching Arrow for that matter. But it's nice to see. So DC's trying to make some inroads in the cool factor. Batman always trumps everything. Batman kind of like sits above everything, and people always think Batman's cool. But as a whole, like you said, people think of DC maybe as a little more older, iconic type characters that aren't as relatable. But the success of the TV series are starting to change that a little bit, which is nice to see. So maybe we'll even see more of that over time.
That's interesting, because the talk of another show, I remember when the CW came in and said, oh no, no more of this. This is all we're going to do. And then they picked up Supergirl. And then now there's word there's another show coming. Maybe Black Lightning or something. There's all the rumors going around about what it is, but they may call it, instead of the CW, they should call it DCW.
DCW, yeah. Well, they can't argue with the success. They have to look at their numbers and go, Arrow and Flash. If Flash is our number one show and Arrow is our number two show, we need more of this stuff then if we can. And, it's hard to argue with success, Success breeds imitation and repeats and stuff. So, hopefully they've all been good. They've all been fun in their own way. So, long as they're good, let them coming out. I worry sometimes that there'll be a saturation point. There's too many movies, too many shows. In fact, we even bring this up sometimes, that we sometimes think that when comic book sales are down or people talk about sales being down, we're going, well, you know what? People can get their fix of superheroes in many other ways now. Yep. Whether it's video games that look fantastic and have good stories between them, and all the movies and TV shows, if you miss superheroes, all you got to do is turn on your TV or go to the movies or pick up, rent or stream something, and you don't have to pick up a comic book. So, we'll see. They do tend to overlap, and we definitely see, people coming in. The other media does bring them into the comic books a lot. But I kind of wonder how much that does affect whether people would buy comics or not,
Was it you that used to tell me that whenever The Walking Dead would start up, the first trade paperback would sell real well?
Oh, there's definitely a correlation between when something is new, when they have a new season of something, and when they're in reruns or they go on hiatus. Walking Dead is a perfect example. It's always a great seller for us, don't get me wrong. But whenever the new series starts up, or the new season starts up, or maybe the finale for the season, we always see a bump in sales as people's interest is being piqued. Then over the summer, sales are still solid, but it does tend to wane off. And we see that with a lot of shows, and because it works with the movies, too. Hey, a new Guardians of the Galaxy movie comes out, we're going to sell a lot more Guardians trade paperbacks and individual issues and stuff. So it works the same way, but with TV shows, because it's on a seasonal cycle, we'll see it over and over and over again. But yeah, absolutely true. And a good example of the opposite, it shows how it's a detriment. Doctor Who has never been a huge seller for us, although Doctor Who has tons of fans. The comics have never sold that well. But the fact that for all of 2016, they basically went on break and only had like a Christmas episode, sales just plummeted in our store on Doctor Who. Yeah, I mean, there's no other word to describe it except plummeted, where we sell like a couple of each. And now, even though they have more than ever, and the Titan Publishing books look really good, and they have good creative teams and stuff, people just don't care. Doctor Who's like just not on their mind right now. Doctor Who fans, it's not even on their mind. So the last thing you're thinking of is, I'm going to go pick up a comic book because I don't see the TV show on anymore. But it's kind of a shame. But that's a perfect example of how it harms. Not being around just hurts it.
Now, we talked about Titan. Do the Titan books generally, Doctor Who probably is the better selling of the Titan books. Do the Titan books sell reasonably well at your store, or how do they do?
They do. I mean, it depends on what it is. They do okay. They tend to be mostly licensed characters and licensed products and stuff like that. So they do. Titan puts out Dark Souls. Yeah, that's right. Dark Souls is probably actually the best seller of all the Titan books for us. I see them experimenting, they're doing like a lot of like science fiction, and they have some crime books and things that have been coming out that look interesting. They've been kind of doing okay. So they're trying to have a little bit more diverse type of thing there. But They don't do big numbers, but they offer a lot of variety. I like to see that diversity there, so that's good to see.
We touched on Walking Dead. How's Image doing? Are their sales consistent from year to year? How are they doing?
But yeah, I mean, what's good is that those are the books that people kind of really talk about. That's what we see the buzz going on in the shop. Like, even though people like Rebirth and DC books, nobody's raving about them and saying about how, you know, they were really affected by them, and same with Marvel. But they do come in and talk about the Image titles they love and how they love Kill or Be Killed and I Hate Fairyland and some of the, and just any, I mean, name any book from Image right now that's doing pretty well and people are talking about it. And Saga, of course, and Walking Dead being the two biggest examples. Another two of our best sellers, especially from Image. And people will actively try things from Image, especially if it's a creator that they know. Those books will do very well, at least to start even. But it's nice to see sometimes like a smaller title creep in with creators that people aren't familiar with and do really well. They're the ones that get me excited. But Image is the one company we refer probably people to more than anything. Unless they're looking for superheroes, they want Spider-Man or Batman, we got to give them something similar. But when they say, what's new and good, what's interesting and good, what's new, that we go to pretty much Image and their wide variety of titles, and that's and it works.
Very cool. Now, how about there was a new company that started up last January called Aftershock, and they took name people and gave them their own, like, creator-owned comics. And one of their books I particularly love is called Animosity. It's about animals who get intelligence, which I love because now I look at the two dogs and I go, what are you guys thinking sitting there, you know? You never know what they're really thinking. Yeah. Has Aftershock done well for you guys? What's been going on with
them? Honestly, not great. They have a terrific selection. Like you said, like up and down the board, they have a really nice selection of talent. Animosity kind of got hot there for a little bit early on. They had multiple printings, and people were in the beginning kind of like American Monster from Azzarello because he's a big name and everything. But overall, they haven't really clicked with the audience too much. I think they still need a signature book to really get people to look at them. But unfortunately, all those creators are also have products at other companies and things like that, and projects, excuse me. Yeah, Aftershock, I like what they're doing. I like what I see coming from them, but unfortunately, it's not translating to sales for us.
No, that's too bad. Because, like I said, Animosity, I really liked. When they started out, I really liked all the books, particularly like Replica, which had funny covers, which I really enjoyed. I liked that one a lot, and other ones too. Just a lot. And of course, now they've got a Phil Hester book that's selling. Real well, they say. So,
oh, is that with Warren Ellis? Is that Shipwreck?
Yes.
Because he's drawing Shipwreck with Warren Ellis. The first issue did okay on Warren Ellis's name, but people read one and two, and they don't seem like they want to come back for number three, I guess, when it comes out. Sales on that have dropped a lot from issue one down to two. But there's also just so much product out there, like I said, Wayne. There's just too much. And in the end, if people just mildly like something, it's probably going to get pushed aside for something that they really like or something new they enjoy from somebody else. You know, there's just so much out there right now.
You reminded me of something I wanted to ask you about. The $2.99 at DC versus like the $3.99 to $4.99 at Marvel. How big of an influence does that have on people buying comics?
You know what? In the beginning, I didn't think it was, but more and more people have told us over time that, yeah, the $2.99 does make a difference. And the twice a month at $2.99 is probably what keeps those books at twice a month, because a lot of people are saying, you know, like if there were $3.99 at twice a month, they probably wouldn't do it. But $2.99, that extra $2 is almost a whole other DC comic for them. And especially, you know, whether it's ourselves or any other store online places that offer discounts, sometimes that $2 can actually translate into a whole other comic. And it does make a difference. And I hear people, you know, when they come up to the register and go like, oh, well, here's my pile of $3.99 books and only a couple $2.99. So, I mean, you know, people, they're doing the math in their head and they're spending the money. And yeah, it does matter to them. It really does. Some people just, you know, they don't comment, but I think it does matter.
So you think that DC should stick with that for a while?
Oh, especially if they're going to do twice a month, yes.
Well, Marvel's been doing the twice a month stuff with $3.99. for a while, and that didn't seem to affect the sales for them, but of course that's Marvel.
Right, but you know, in some ways, Wayne, it has, because even we've seen a lot of Marvel titles like drop off. Here's the thing, some of them are twice a month every month, and well, pretty much at DC, the ones that they have twice a month are twice a month. That's part of their publishing schedule, definite. Marvel seems to float around with sometimes it's twice a month, sometimes it's not, and I think that's how they get away with it, where it's like, hey, you know, Deadpool is going to come out twice a month this month, but next month it's not. And Spider-Man will be twice a month this month, the next month. So people, I think, tend to almost, I won't say they don't notice, but if it were twice a month every month consistently, they would. But I think that Marvel spreads it out a little bit just to, you know, pepper it in. I can't think of really any of their titles that are definitively twice a month now. I think they kind of scatter it out a little bit.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, one thing I always like, because going to your store, we always get good recommendations for books that we would like. What books, and I notice on your website you promote AD After Death, of course, by Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire. It's hard to go wrong with those guys. What books would you, if somebody walked into your store and said, look, I like comics, what am I not reading that I should be reading? What would you recommend to them?
Right. My one book, and it seems like it's catching on a little bit, because it's going into multiple printings, is a book from Image called Green Valley. And I feel so bad I don't have a copy in front of me, because I hate to say it, I read my copies and I bring them back to the shop. It has art by that Giuseppe Camuncoli, and I'm sorry if I'm butchering his name. And I'm very sorry, I can't remember the writer's name. Oh, I feel terrible, I don't have one on hand. But Green Valley is terrific. It's basically a Game of Thrones-type book. And we're three issues in, and it's terrific. It has a little bit more levity to it, and I don't want to give too much of it away, but it has Game of Thrones, if the heroes of the show found themselves on the outs and had to kind of find their way back to being heroes. What happens when everything you have is taken away and you feel like you'll never get that back, but you need some motivation, and they get some motivation to kind of bring back that heroism. And Green Valley's terrific. I absolutely highly recommend Green Valley. And that seems like every time we recommend it to people, they do come back and they look for issues, and we've been selling out of them. So I'm enjoying, and again, that's from Image. I don't know if I mentioned that's from Image Comics.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you who the writer is. I looked up who the writer is, and it's Max Landis.
Thank you. Yes, what is his name?
Max Landis.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God, how did I not know that? Okay, that's, I feel terrible now. I should have known that.
He wrote Superman American Alien, which I thought was some of the best Superman I'd read in years. The seven-issue miniseries?
No, I remember that. I didn't read that because I wasn't reading any Superman at that time. But, boy, I Green Valley's terrific.
He's also doing TV shows, too, Mr. Landis is. So, you know, if you see his name, I would recommend it.
Yeah, well, judging from this, I definitely would check some of this stuff out.
Okay, so that's your number one. Other ones?
Well, you know, here's one little book that, I mean, I can't say it's a little book, but it's just one of those tough characters to sell on people, and it's Aquaman. You're going to say, okay, that's a DC comic. He's a well-known character. But Aquaman, of course, is always kind of the butt of jokes. And, you know, he doesn't sell in big numbers. But the current Rebirth series of Aquaman is terrific by Dan Abnett and a host of very good artists they've had on the book. I think it was Kevin Walker and Scott Eaton and a whole bunch of other guys that are very good. I don't know if Aquaman warrants a twice-a-month book as he's being published. But if you like solid superhero adventure with sort of classic sort of storytelling but with the modern approach so it doesn't feel dated, Aquaman is just a dead-on fun read for me right now. And he's always a hard sell to get. And people say, like, oh, what's good? Well, I like Aquaman. I like Aquaman a lot. And that's a fun book. I'm trying to think of...
Well, while you're saying that, my brother Randy, he loves Aquaman. He reads that.
Randy's got the good taste into it. The book has been solid. I mean, we're 12 or 13 issues into it now, and I feel like they've got stuff plotted out, and everything is just moving along at a nice pace. It's not over talky. It's got adventure. I mean, Dan Abnett knows what he's doing, and I really enjoy that book. Geez, what else? I'm trying to think of anything. I read so much, I'm trying to think of what would be like a...
What about, like, on your website, you got a picture of the animated Batman and Teenage Turtles?
Yeah, they've been fun. I enjoyed the first series. I don't know if you read the first series, which had the more realistic sort of, you know. I thought that was terrific. That's how every crossover should be. It hit all the points you wanted to hit. It did all the fun things you wanted to do. And being a big fan of the Batman Adventures, and anybody who is, I think, would love this current miniseries, which has the Batman Adventures feel with the turtles to it. So that's a lot of fun. Oh, I'm enjoying the Archie titles, the current revamp of Archie itself is terrific. I can't believe how much I enjoy Archie right now. I enjoy Betty and Veronica, not just for the gorgeous art by Adam Hughes, who's also writing the book. It is falling off schedule, unfortunately. But I think people would be surprised, especially if the new Riverdale TV show is a hit. I think they might actually be looking for some of these current titles. They've been a big surprise for me early on here.
Because I was really nervous, you know, because Archie has been a certain way for decades. And they put a more realistic twist on it. They put Mark Waid, of course, who's a great writer, on it. And I was really nervous because I thought, are people really going to warm up to a less cartoony Archie? And of course, they've got that Walking Dead version of Archie and stuff, and that goes pretty well whenever it comes out.
Yeah, Afterlife with Archie. That's fallen behind schedule because of the writer, Roberto Quire-Sacasa, is working on the TV show and whatnot. But, yeah, and they've done very well. Let me put it this way. We sell more of those Archie titles than we were of the other Archie titles. So I'm not sure how it plays out overall, because I know that they still have the digests and things like in bookstores and in grocery stores. I know that the digests have always done very well for Archie Publishing. But as far as new sales go, I mean, these far exceed what previous Archie sales were, too. So, I mean, from that point, as a retailer, I'm very happy.
I want to ask you something, too, just because I'm knee-deep involved in it. I always am talking with people and buying indie comics, you know, self-published and stuff like that. Do you sell many of those up there? Are there many people up in that area, that region, that self-published their own comics?
Not really. I mean, there always was some floating around. We really haven't had many lately. I think some people may be publishing their stuff online because, you know, I mean, printing, you know, even just photocopying things and putting them out costs time and money. I love those, but we really don't see much of them in Northeast PA and in the Scranton area. So if there's anybody out there listening and they want to send us some stuff, we look at everything. But right now, unfortunately, no, there really isn't any.
Okay. For your store for 2017, you've hinted at some stuff, and you may not want to really talk about any of that stuff, but what do you have in store for your store, to be punny there? What kinds of things can they expect the Comics on Green in 2017?
Okay. Yeah, no, it's a fair enough question. I mean, we have it'll be our 25th anniversary now.
Oh, wow.
Of course, we're very, very proud of that, and I can't believe it went by so fast. For us, it's just things are changing as far as like how people shop online and things like that. And we're always a brick-and-mortar store first and everything. We've always had stuff online and that. But we really want to become more of an actual e-commerce type, you know, store online and everything. So there's some changes we need to make in the store as far as building. We want to build up a loyalty program. We have our subscribers and everything. But we actually want to have, you know, a loyalty program where people can get points and earn towards future purchases and things. Just like anywhere you shop anymore. I mean, we all know, we all get our things, our notices on our phone from any other place we've ever shopped online or locally and building loyalty programs, things like that. So that's my big goal for 2017. That's going to take a lot of work. We've been thinking about it for years. This isn't like, oh, I just thought about it. You know, we're 10 years behind the time or something like that. No, it's always been on our mind. We've dabbled in things here and there. But yeah, now it's time to be a little more aggressive. But of course, everything costs time and money.
Of course.
So it'll be an investment for us. But I mean, we know it'll pay off. We've already looked into things all last year, too. We were looking into some things. And there's just so many options for us. We have to figure out what's right for us before I go spend thousands of dollars to do this, you know. So I've narrowed it down. I think we're in pretty good shape. So I'm hoping by, you know, if I talk to you in 2018 at this time, already implemented a lot of these things and had some successes and some failures along the way. But that's our big goal. And that hopefully will help us also generate what, you know, what we need to do more in the store as far as what customers want, what they want to buy, and their buying habits and things like that. So help us be better for the customers and things like that.
Because you have a lot of people who are not living necessarily in northeastern Pennsylvania who buy from you regularly. I know I go to you when something I can't find. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been stuff down here that I've gone to like every store in the region and there's no sign of it, mostly because people didn't order it for some reason. And then I can go to you and you have it and you can send it to me, which is great. There's all these things like Loot Crate and all these things going on. You could always make a Comics on the Green crate that you could send out every month. Yes. Kind of thing to do that.
EOT crate or something.
Yeah,
and we do get a lot of customers from outside the area. I mean, people always come, you know, in visiting and saying like, oh, I wish we had a store like, you know, yours in our place, or you have a nice selection or this or that. And of course they ask, are you online? We can't ignore the fact that, geez, I think even when we get our analytics from eBay, they'll say like, okay, for the month of November, 80% of your eBay sales were done from a mobile device. 80% is being done from a mobile device. That's a huge number. That means people aren't sitting at their desktops anymore. We've known this, but it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we'd like to, you know, develop a program or a website that can be used among all platforms, you know, whether you're having a tablet, phone, or desktop. And like I said, this is all going to take time, money, and a lot of planning on our part. But I think it's time to jump in now. I think no more little feet in the water. I think it's time to jump right now.
Okay. Now let's talk about the industry, about what kind of things you think should happen in 2017 or are going to happen. What do you think about what's going to happen as far as the industry goes? Because 2016 was a year of change, you know, all kinds of things happened, Marvel Now and Rebirth and all that stuff. But as far as 2017 goes, we don't see a lot of that kind of thing in the planning. What do you think is going to happen in 2017?
Oh, let's see. It's like, what do I want to happen and what do I think will happen?
So yeah.
Two different things. I think in a way, how can I put this? DC and Image, I think, are doing things the right way right now. DC is shoring up. They decided, hey, and I know Geoff Johns almost like, you know, I've heard him almost you know, say this outright, that they feel they lost their old long-term customers and it's time to get them back. And you don't have to sacrifice your new customers to do that. You don't have to sacrifice all the new people and the more diverse audience you have now. But I feel like Marvel is almost willing to do that. Marvel seems like they are willing to either say, hey, we're going to change things whether you want it or not, because this is our business plan. This is the model we've set in motion for the past couple of years, and we're following through with it whether you like it or not. And DC, I hate to say it, I mean, DC I think was trying to do that, but in the end, only bad sales and plummeting sales will cause a company to change. And Marvel has enough successes, and the movies float them enough money to make them be able to take maybe more chances in publishing. But at the same time, I can't tell you how many people right now are, I mean, I'll just, well, X-Men in general. X-Men, you know, was the staple behind Marvel sales and then huge sellers for 30 years. Marvel has gotten so far away from whatever the X-Men are. The characters are, they're not the same characters, but they are. They're coming and going. They're constantly changing teams. Nobody's recognizable anymore. And we're just seeing numbers drop off on the X-Men like every month. Every month across the board. Old Man Logan still sells pretty well. And actually, all new Wolverine sells pretty well. So it's a testament to those books and probably the quality. But the regular X-Men titles are just dropping. Avengers is another one. Even though I've liked Mark Waid a lot and I appreciate what he's doing, these aren't the Avengers to people. These are a bunch of misfits and cast-offs and pretenders to them. And sales on those books drop all the time. So when you have the X-Men line of books and the Avengers line of books, and they represent multiple titles, maybe half your publishing or something, or a third of your publishing, and those numbers keep dropping, something has to get done. And I believe that they could have the diversity they want, but they need to bring back at least something, a classic book all the fans can relate to and say, yes, these are the characters I love. They're slightly altered, but they're still the ones I love. And you have all these exciting new characters and all different types of people. So I think Marvel needs to get on track with that, or they're going to find their sales dropping even more. But they have still enough successes. That's the thing. Like, they were DC post-convergence and into the DC YOU or whatever, sales just dropped off like instantly. Like, people just said, nope, I'm done, and that's it. Marvel doesn't have that yet, but I think they could get to that if they're not careful. And to get off them, then I'd say like Image doing things right, where they're letting new creators and old creators just do what they want. And if it works, great. If not, but they're not pushing an agenda. They're not pushing any kind of plan except diversity and letting people put out like the best books they feel they could put out. And there's a lot of diversity there. So, you know, it's not that Marvel sales are horrible for us, but they, I look at my numbers of what books used to be and what they are now, and there's a big difference. And they're trying to make it up in quantity. And it's really not working, to be honest with you.
Well, let me ask you something about the...
That's my 2 cents. You know?
Okay. Well, let me ask you about... Because they brought back the original 5 X-Men, and they ran them for a while in their own book. And, you know, I always got a sense that was their attempt to try to bring back the X-Men fans who have gone away. But, you know, after time, the biggest thing with the X-Men is they have to constantly be changing and things have to be happening and moving along. And now
right. There's
stuff I don't even want to mention anymore about Cyclops and stuff like that going on. And yeah. I don't know. I think you're right in the fact that maybe what they need to do is revitalize, do an X-Men that has the favorite X-Men in it and go from there and do something that's adventure or storytelling kind of thing.
My belief, from Marvel and DC, primarily, of course, because of who they are, there should always be, when it comes to the books that have multiple titles, there should always be an Avengers team that's recognizable to everybody. There should always be an X-Men team, and DC should always have a Justice League team or a JSA team or something that everybody knows and loves that you could tweak with here and there. But then you have all these other side books. Now, that's where you take your chances. But I think Marvel... and even DC to some point, because they've done it with Justice League enough times to failure, is they had one success a long time ago when Marvel came out with Giant Size X-Men. That changed everything. Look, we have all new characters, and what a huge hit. Look what we did. We could repeat that. It's never been repeated, ever. It's never been repeated. They've introduced new characters, and they've introduced new teams. That was lightning in a bottle with the right creators at the right time and everything. Just like when they revamped the Justice League in 1987 or so, with the Kevin Maguire, J.M. DeMatteis, Keith Giffen Justice League that had a couple misfit characters, some main characters, and they made it funnier. And I just feel like the company still look at those things and say, look, we took big chances and it paid off. It paid off once. It paid off once in 40 years. It paid off once in 35 years or so. And I applaud them because they definitely do. The company should take chances, but keep that one book that you can rely on, that one Justice League book that has everybody that the people want, that one X-Men book that has everybody. Keep those, and then you can mess around with the side titles. Because it never works in the long run, Wayne. Never, ever, ever. Whenever DC would take the Justice League, and they would take the big members away one at a time, two at a time, and then you get it down to where it's two big members and a bunch of like third stringers, sales drop off. Same with X-Men, same with Avengers. I've seen it happen a million times, and I don't know why they don't see it. Because the numbers are there. The bean counters are there to show them that, look, whenever you did this over time, it failed. And then you have to go back to the big seven. And then you have to go back to the members. And I don't understand. It's just crazy. I don't understand why they do it.
Yeah, it's just like Batgirl. Batgirl, they revamped her, and it went good. And all of a sudden, Batgirl became a verb. We don't want a Batgirl in any other books because the sales started to fall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of thing.
And Marvel did the same thing. And I can't remember what bigwig I was reading an interview with. I wish I remembered. But now Jason Aaron's run on Thor over the past 4 years or something has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I love what he's done with the current female Thor. I have no problem with it whatsoever because it's been good quality stuff. But Marvel, one of the head honchos in an interview said a couple months back, he goes, that was a benchmark, moment for us. Mm-hmm. We saw that as a chance to like do this and do that and do that. So it's like basically we had one success where we turned one of the characters into a completely different character, and we're going to do it with a lot of other characters. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you could get away with it once or twice, and it depends on creators. But when you do it too many times, people go, no, I see what you're doing. We're fans. We're not that stupid. For instance, a good example is, of course, Invincible Iron Man with Riri Williams and the new girl who's the Iron Man. Nobody has a problem with her as a character. Her replacing Tony Stark as Iron Man, people definitely have a problem with. And I'll tell you what, they could talk about it being a success, and I hope she's a great character in the long run. But sales on the book are already not that good. I'll tell you right now. We're two issues in, and they're already not what they were 2 months ago with Invincible Iron Man with Tony Stark. So to me, that's already a failure. Why can't they just introduce her as another character or make her a friend of Tony Stark's and she gets her own armor and her own book or whatever? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You could have her. She's a good character. She's a good character. Mm-hmm. Replacing Tony Stark? No. People don't like it. Sam Wilson replacing Steve Rogers for the time that he has, even before Steve came back. That hasn't worked in that book. Just I don't even know why they're keeping that book along. I like Sam Wilson. I like the Falcon. I don't know why they need to do this. But they saw that as a moment for them to change and push an agenda that people aren't stupid. People don't mind diversity, Wayne. They really don't. But not at the expense of their classic characters. That's what it comes down to.
Well, you know what I don't like is a lot of people liked Miles Morales being Spider-Man, and now we've got Iron Man, who's Iron Woman should be, and then we've got, I have this thing about a lot of the characters that have developed over time and been classic characters were developed out of the characters themselves and their cultures. And so I don't like it when people stuff a character, like a person of color, into an Iron Man outfit. I didn't mind War Machine. I think War Machine's fine. They've made him his own character. But to take and put these other people, I have troubles with the female Thor still. I have troubles with all this stuff. Because I think, why can't we develop good characters that are new based on the females are on persons of color. Why do we have to? I kind of feel like it's a cheat to these people to say, we couldn't make a good enough character for you that reflects your own culture. So let's give you one that is in one thing we already have. I just don't think that's
right. And you know what? I've read different interviews with creators and Marvel in general. And the attitude is, and I'm like you, where I feel it's almost shortchanging a Sam Wilson or a Riri Williams to have to make them somebody else when they could be their own character. But I think Marvel's attitude is that if we come out with a comic book called Sam Wilson Falcon, you're probably not going to buy it. But we come up with Sam Wilson, make him Captain America. Captain America as a brand is more recognizable, and there's a greater chance you'll try that. Well, guess what? People did out of curiosity for the first couple issues, but sales on that book have never been good, and they keep dropping every month, too. So people said, hey, I like Sam Wilson. He was cool in the movie. I like the character. Not every book, not every character can sustain their own title. I mean, there's plenty of characters of all different races, religions, colors that can't sustain their own books. Riri Williams, she might be a great character. do you have to make her Iron Man and replace Tony Stark? But their idea is, if you come up with Riri Williams and she becomes her own character, you're probably not going to buy it. But if we put Iron Man on the title, that's a brand you recognize and you'll try it. And it's like, there's something to be said for that, but it's not a long-term plan that works. But I don't know. But that's their idea, that when you create a new character, it's so hard to get that going that it's easier to just make them Spider-Man, make them Captain America, make them Iron Man or Thor, and people at least pay some attention to them. But I think it's a short-term goal.
I think so.
It brings some attention to the character, but people end up resenting the character.
Oh, yeah.
That's the part that I feel is the consequence of such things. I don't know much about, like, you know, Riri Williams' character or even, like, Sam Wilson, what they're doing with them currently. But people end up resenting them. They end up, like, not liking that character because they replaced a character that they do love. And it's not fair, like you said. Even with the female Thor is another example, you know, and that's been going on for a while now. But it isn't fair, but I don't know. They seem to be dead set on doing these things, and we can't seem to stop them. Only bad sales. Only bad sales will stop them.
That's show business. If the business takes up, boy, look out. When the sale numbers drop, just like with DCU, boy, DC suddenly said, whoa, we got to do something here. And if they don't sell well, Marvel will stand up and say, whoa, we got to make something happen here. Sadly.
And I always say, we hear it from customers all the time, we love new things, we'll try new things and everything, but the only way I can compare this, especially, you know, anybody from our generation, even a little bit older will remember, is when Coke tried to compete with Pepsi, Coke came out with New Coke, and they got rid of Classic Coke. I forget when that was, in the 80s sometime or whatever. And people rebelled against it. They hated it. And they ended up, like, not drinking any Coke product because they didn't have the Classic that they liked. Now what do we have? We have the Classic versions of all these soft drinks, and then you have, this is the Black Cherry version, or this is the Diet version, or this is the Zero version, or whatever. So people are like, yes, well, I love Classic Coke, so I could buy that, but I will try these other products that you have, because you maybe earned my trust back or something. That's what I believe Marvel and DC need to do, is you keep a Classic version, and you add to it. You have things that are part of its, like, group, and you build up. You don't replace it. You can't replace Captain America. You can't replace Iron Man. You think you can, but it only happens for a short time, and then it bites you in the butt, you know?
So true. So true. Well, Dave is always...
Sorry, I don't mean to be rambling.
No, that's great. This is the kind of things, because my brother and I used to come to your store on Saturday afternoon when we come up to visit family, and we would come to your store and talk for a couple of hours about this kind of stuff. It's always fun to be able to talk with somebody who understands all aspects of the industry like you do, and that's right. It's always good to talk with you, and man, I have a great time talking with you, and we'll have to do this again sometime on a semi-regular basis, because I always want to know what's happening in stores, because, you know, I can talk to creators all the time, and they'll give you, well, my book is terrific and all this good stuff, and I'm glad for that. And often it is good if I talk with them, but the thing is I want to be able to know what's happening out there, and even the store I go to down here, I'll talk with the lady in charge of it, and we'll do something about it. She'll be real honest with me about what's happening. But you always want to find out what's going on in other places, too, because Florida is a very unique place, because there's a lot of indie comics down here. See, like, you don't have them up there. There's, like, in the state of Florida, there must be, like, 20, 25 indie comics companies just going like crazy.
That's great. It's fun to do. I mean, I guess you would think we would have some up here, being close to, especially New York, being the heart of publishing and just the ideas and stuff like that. But at least not in the northeastern Pennsylvania. Maybe not too far around here, but just, yeah.
Well, you're too close. You're too close to New York. People who want to do it probably head to New York.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I think there's a lot of good people with good ideas. Maybe they're just not getting it done on paper. But
I was going to ask you about what you thought about Alterna going back to newsprint. That's one thing I was going to do. But
I like the idea because it's going to be more economical. Although, from what I heard, like, I didn't even know that newsprint was as cheap anymore. I thought for some reason, like, newsprint was just as expensive as some of the other, like, you know, synthetic papers and stuff like that. But it'll be cool to see, as long as the product's good. I would love to see a good comic on that old pulpy paper, but if the comic's not any good or people don't care, then it doesn't matter if it's on, you know, old chiseled stone or paper, you know. But I, as a fan, I do like that. I think it's a neat idea, but I don't know how much people, you know, care besides, you know, as long as the book is good.
Right.
But $1.99 is, you know, if they can keep the price point down or something, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I'd love to chat with you again on any kind of semi-regular basis. You can touch base with me anytime.
Again, it's Comics on the Green, and it's in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Go to comicsonthegreen.com, Facebook, Twitter. If you're looking for something you can't find in your local stores, give Dave a call. And once again, I'm going to mention the phone number, because I always find people who don't have online. It's 570-342-5960. And if Dave's not there, one of the folks folks that works with them can help and give all kinds of great suggestions about stuff that maybe you didn't know about that you should. So, Dave, always good to talk with you, and can't wait till the next time, and we'll see what happens in the industry if some of the stuff we talked about actually happens.
I think part of it, Wayne, is I'm very nice to talk to you because I know you're a longtime fan, and I think it's because we all love the industry so much. We always just want what's best. We want to get new exciting things and hold on to what we love as well, too. So, yeah, here's to a great 2017 for everybody.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's a wrap for this episode. Be back next week when we'll have much more on the comics universes. But until then, keep reading your comics.
End results aside, we are not happy. You hacked Justice League systems, disobeyed direct orders, and endangered lives. You will not be doing this again.
I am sorry, but we will.